quietly lovely new movie by Rob Meyer, A Birder's Guide to Everything, paints realistic kids and adults in a gentle coming-of-age story that rings utterly true. The movie takes place a year and a half after the mother of the main character, David, has died. David and his father are so locked in their individual grief that neither has much understanding of the other's pain. Now David's father is about to marry the woman who had been his wife's nurse. His conscience is clear. They never got together until after his wife died, but he has no clue that his son doesn't realize that, and David has no clue of the dimensions of his father's grief. David is absorbed with birds, with the monomaniacal focus geeks always seem to fixate on our current passions, but he and his two best friends who formed the Young Birders Society at his high school are not stereotypical geeks nor archetypes. They're just three individual boys on the cusp of adulthood, joined by a shared fascination with birds. Peter, the quiet leader of the group, is the chairman of the club, and whenever the boys disagree, he calls for a vote. The third member is Timmy, who is obsessed with sex and clueless about girls, but the movie doesn't reduce that to an easy cliche. His vulnerability makes him no less obnoxious, and his obnoxiousness makes him no less sweet. At the start of the movie, the main character, David, sees and takes an out-of-focus photo of what looks to him to be an odd duck. He brings the photo to the club to see if they want to help him try to relocate it. They vote against it, but by the next morning, studying his photo and what he remembers of the duck before it took off, David has researched the possibilities and concluded that it seems to be not just a rare species, but a Labrador duck, which is a Lazarus species, a species that had been considered extinct. The three decide to consult an actual expert, Dr. Lawrence Conrad, an ornithologist played by Ben Kingsley. Conrad is a wonderfully developed character, too. He's the world-weary author of a book titled Look to the Skies, who was a close associate of David's mother and famous for his own controversial discovery of another Lazarus species, an ivory-billed woodpecker, in 2005. Conrad agrees that although the photo is poor, it does support the possibility of a Labrador duck. He points out on a map where he thinks a sea duck might be likely to be heading at this point in migration, and they pick a large lake in Connecticut as a reasonable place to search. Conrad emphasizes that the boys need a longer camera lens if they hope to get a sighting that could be taken seriously. To accomplish this, David borrows a long lens from the school, and Ellen, the girl who gave him the key to where it was stored, comes to his house to get it back. The boys are desperate and end up letting her tag along to photograph the bird. She has never birded before, and so naturally there's a certain bemusement about some bird names and confusion about how the boys know what each species is. But the movie plays this just right, never once working for a cheap laugh. She is sucked into watching the birds with exactly the kind of growing enthusiasm I often see in non-birders who, for one reason or another, end up on a birding jaunt and discover just how fascinating birds can be. Two dead birds figure prominently in the movie, but they're not forced into a symbolic or precious movie cliché. It was almost to be expected that competitors for the rare sighting would roar into the scene, but even with this, the movie never became predictable, reaching its realistic climax and denouement in a quietly organic way specific to its wonderfully fleshed-out characters. As a birder, it's wonderful for me to see a movie that is mostly accurate about the vocabulary and feeling of birding. As a mother and a former teacher, it's wonderful to see a coming-of-age movie about realistic kids and adults. A Birder's Guide to Everything has already been released on iTunes, Amazon streaming, and various on-demand movie channels, and will soon be showing in some theaters. It's a wiser and far more universal film than The Big Year was, as its second place audience award at the Tribeca Film Festival would attest. I give it two wings up. I'm Laura Erickson, speaking for the birds.